So for the past couple of weeks, we have been in this series called Church, and it's all about who we are as the Creek Church and why we do what we do and why we believe what we believe. And our mission is simple. It was given to us by Jesus, and that's to love God, love people, and make disciples. That's our mission. And that's not just for us. That's for the entire church. That's for the global church. And then we have our vision, which is specific to the Creek, which is to be a church for people who don't like church. So we have our mission, and then we have our vision. And then we have something called our core values. And these values act as guardrails that aim us and keep us on the path to accomplishing that mission and realizing that vision. And there's six of them. They're out there on the wall. They're everywhere around here. And we talk about them all the time. You're not going to find these explicitly stated in the scriptures, but they are taken from the life and the teaching of Jesus. And in week one, Pastor Will from Williamsburg, he talked about how we is greater than me. This is all about unity. And then last week, Pastor Nate talked about how bridges are better than barriers. We believe that we should build on-ramps for people that are far from God and invite them in and give them something that they wouldn't get anywhere else. We shouldn't build up barriers. We should build bridges to these people. And today, we're talking about another value set forth in the life and the example of Jesus. And it's a value that if we learn to live this way, if you and I learn to embody this value, we're going to see our church explode. We're going to see story after story after story of life change that not only do we get to see it and enjoy it from afar, but we actually get to be a part of it. You and I get to share in the joy of these stories when we embody this value. And this value is everyone can reach someone. We believe that this is true, that all of us have the ability to step into somebody else's story and change it for the better. Because here's something that's true for all of us Jesus followers in the room today. We did not come to faith alone. Once upon a time, there was a someone in our story of faith. No one comes to faith alone. All of us came to faith because there was a someone who played a part in our story of faith. That's what we believe. Everyone's story of faith can be traced back to a someone. For me, I trace it back to my parents who raised me and poured into me and, you know, raised me up in the faith, laid a foundation of faith for me. I trace it back to this lady named Julie, who was really just a stranger to me, but she spoke truth and life into me in a moment when I was this close from walking away from faith altogether. So I trace it back to them. You can trace your story of faith back to someone as well. Maybe it was your parents, maybe grandparents, maybe it was a brother or a sister or a friend, maybe even a son or a daughter or even a stranger. We all have a someone in our story of faith. And maybe you can think back to a moment when they spoke something to you, or they showed up for you, or they did something to you to prove to you that they were there and that they loved you. And that, more importantly, God loves you. There's a someone in your story of faith. You can't tell your story without them. There's people in my story of faith. I can't tell my story of faith without my parents, without Julie. And everyone can reach someone means that just like we can trace our story of faith back to a someone, we can be that someone in someone else's story of faith. And I think that this is something that all of us want deep down at our deepest core. Jesus follower or not, we all want a life of purpose and a life of meaning. We want a life of significance that isn't just confined to our little small circle or running in our lane. We want to live bigger than that. We want to live a life that's bigger than just ourselves. And why is that? Well, according to Jesus, it's because we were made for more than a life that's just lived for ourselves. Jesus connected our purpose to other people, especially people that were far from him. Everywhere you look in the biographies of Jesus that we call the Gospels, Jesus is pointing toward other people that are far from him and saying, hey, your job. You want to know what your purpose in life is? Your job is to go love them. to serve them, to bring them in, to love them the same way that I loved you, which was to lay down my life for you. I want you to love people that way. I want you to reach people that way. This is what Jesus was talking about when he saw the crowds of people that were harassed by sin and broken by sin. It says when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields." We are the answer to this prayer. You and me. We are the answer to Jesus' prayer. This is what Jesus was talking about when he called some of his first disciples. And they were out in the boat and they were fishing, and Jesus saw them out on the water. He called to them and he said this. He said, "Hey, come follow me and I'll show you how to fish for people. I'm going to show you how to reach people. I'm going to show you how to love people that are far from me and welcome them in and bring them in. Introduce them to me so that I can save their life and change their life." This is what Jesus was talking about when he gave us a crucial part of the mission of the church. He said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Make disciples. Reach people and bring them to me. He would say that your job is not to live for yourself. You're the light of the world. Your job is to go to those far from me and bring them in. Welcome them, love them, reach them, introduce them to me. And when you do that, you are living out your purpose for your life. There's not a single one of us Jesus followers, authentic Christians, that would say this is not good. That would say that this is not something that we were made to do, that we were commanded to do by Jesus, because this is mission critical. Reaching people is the starting point of making disciples. It all begins with reaching those that are far from God so that he can save their life and change it for the better forever. And this is something that all of us want to do. Deep down, we know that we're supposed to do this. And some of us, we do this well. We live this life well. But the problem is, for many of us, including me, far too often, we don't do it. We don't. We may be completely aware that our purpose is to reach people far from God, but we don't. We just don't do it. We can have conversations with people all day long, people that are far from faith, that don't know Jesus. We can talk about sports. We can talk about the kids and what's going on at school. We can even talk about politics. But Jesus, faith, that's a touchy subject. We don't always like to go there. It's harder to do. It's harder for me to do. And as I was thinking about this, I was just thinking, why is that? When I know that it's my purpose to reach people, why is it that I have such a hard time reaching people? And I've seen two key themes, just looking back at moments in my life that I've fumbled the ball and I've dropped it. And I think this might be a theme for you as well. Two things I think hold us back. Two of many, but these are two of the main things that hold us back from reaching people. Distraction and fear. Distraction and fear. Distraction. We're too caught up in the hurry and the busyness of our lives. We're so confined to our own little bubble and running in our own little lane. Our heads aren't up, our eyes aren't open. We don't even often see the people who need to be reached. They could be standing right next to us. We could be having a conversation with them, and it doesn't even cross our mind because we're so distracted by all this other stuff. In the circles that we hang out with, Nate asked last week, who are we hanging out with? Are they people that look exactly like us? If so, that's a distraction too. If they look the same, talk the same, act the same, believe all the same things as us, we're not reaching people far from God. We're not spending time with people that need to be reached. It is so hard to cultivate compassion for people when we are not involved in their lives. We're just distracted. Head's not up, eyes not open. We're not doing our job. I'm not doing my job. And then there's fear, just good old-fashioned fear. Fear of rejection, fear of being awkward and feeling uncomfortable, fear of being asked questions that we don't know the answer to. Just plain fear. Looking stupid, looking silly if we don't know the right answer or the right thing to say. So we leave that, we just kind of diffuse the responsibility. We say, hey, that's the pastor's job, that's the Bible teacher's job. We can't do that. We're often too afraid. Distraction and fear, they hold us back from living into our purpose. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I must, you must, we must overcome these things. We have to. Why? Because when it comes to everyone can reach someone, there are lives at stake. There are eternal lives at stake. If we really believe that everyone spends forever somewhere, and it pains us that there are people that may spend eternity apart from God, people that we know, our family, our friends, what are we doing if we're not reaching them? I am so often sidelined by distraction and fear and all kinds of things, maybe even apathy at times, and so are you. We have to overcome these things because there are lives at stake. We have to live out our purpose. So how do we do it? If we know that we should and we know that we want to, and that's what we were made to do, how do we do it? Because it's often easier said than done. What does a life of reaching people really look like? I want to tell you a story about a guy named Andrew. And Andrew is a guy that we find in the New Testament, in the Gospels, in the biography of Jesus. And he's not exactly a famous guy. We really know two things about him. First thing is that he was a disciple of Jesus. He was one of the 12. And the other thing is that maybe what he's most famous for, he was Simon Peter's brother. Peter, who was arguably the most famous disciple. So Andrew's kind of an unsung hero. He's a background character. There's not much known about him. But Andrew played a crucial role in the formation of the church. And had he not lived the way that he lived, the world that you and I live in today may look very different. Because Andrew's life story is a story of reaching people. And his story begins not as a follower of Jesus, but rather as a follower of a guy named John the Baptizer. And John the Baptizer was a guy who was preaching in the wilderness in those days, and he was announcing the coming of God's Messiah. He said, hey, the hero, the Savior that God promised generations ago, that we've been waiting on this promise since really the very beginning to save humanity. He's on his way. In fact, he is drawing near, and I'm here to prepare the way for him. And one day, John the Baptizer is preaching in the Jordan River to a crowd, and then he stops short and he looks in the crowd and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was looking right at Jesus who was in the crowd. And Andrew was there that day, and he I imagine he looked and he was just amazed. Here was the guy he had waited his entire life for. And it says in the Gospel of John that the following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. One of them was Andrew. And as Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared the same thing. Look, there's the Lamb of God. And when John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. They were like, okay, if this is the guy, I wanna go see what he's up to. I wanna talk to him. And so they start following him, and then Jesus looked around and he saw them following. What do you want? He asked them. And they replied, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? And I imagine Jesus just kind of smiled. And he said, come and see. That's all he said. He just extended an invitation. And it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Now, we don't know what happened in this conversation specifically. We don't know what they talked about. But we do know this, that Andrew left that afternoon with Jesus utterly convinced that he was the Son of God. He was totally convinced. And it was overwhelming to him. And you know what he did about it? Andrew, first thing, without anything else and without any hesitation, Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We found the Messiah," which means Christ. Andrew went to find his brother. He didn't just stand there. He didn't just keep it to himself. He went, he walked immediately to find his brother. And he told him about it. He shared this experience with him. "Hey, I got to tell you, this guy we've been waiting our whole lives for, that our nation has waited generations for, that the world has been waiting for, he's here. And I met him. I just spent an afternoon with him. You got to come meet him. You've got to come meet him." And Simon, I don't know, he may have been skeptical. He may have been a little bit hesitant. But it says that Andrew didn't care. He brought Simon to meet Jesus. And then looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. And Peter's like, "Okay, all right." Jesus just gave him a nickname. Peter means rock. And Peter didn't know what that meant just yet, but Jesus knew. And we'll get to that here later. But Andrew is the one that brought Peter to Jesus immediately. And the rest is history. Long story short, Simon Peter and Andrew and several other disciples ended up following Jesus, watching him and living with him and around him and just watching him do life and do ministry. And they got to witness how he made his life all about reaching people, loving people, especially those far from him. And they would hear all the things that Jesus said that we looked at earlier, that he connected their purpose to other people. And through all that time, through those 3 years that they spent with Jesus, we see that Andrew's heart for reaching people didn't change. We see that for Andrew, bringing his brother Simon to Jesus was only the beginning of a life of bringing people to Jesus. In John 1, he brings his brother Simon. In John 6, we see that on a day that Jesus was preaching to a large crowd, there's about 5,000 of them, and they started to get hungry. They needed to be fed. And we all know this story. What did he do? He used a kid's lunch to feed the 5,000 people. It was a miracle. But you know who introduced that kid to Jesus? Andrew. It was Andrew who saw this boy. Maybe the boy was asking like, "Hey, I can offer something." And so Andrew said, "Okay, let me introduce you to Jesus." And so he did. And Jesus wouldn't have been able to use that kid and that lunch to feed the 5,000 that day. It was Andrew who was the instigator of that. And then in John 10, we see a group of Gentiles, a group of Greeks that wanted to meet Jesus. And they actually went to a disciple named Philip first. And Philip didn't really know what to do because, you know, he was a Jew and Jesus was a Jew. And Jews and Gentiles, they weren't really, you know, all that great together at that time. And he wasn't really sure if Jesus had come for the Gentiles, you know, maybe, you know, just he wasn't sure what to do. So you know what Philip did? Instead of bringing them to Jesus, he brought him to the guy that he knew was always introducing people to Jesus. He brought them to Andrew. And so Andrew introduced these guys to Jesus, and they met him for the first time because of Andrew. Anytime we see Andrew in the Gospels, he's always introducing someone to Jesus. That's just how he lived his life. And why was he doing this? Why was his life lived this way? Honestly, It kind of sounds silly, but it's really the same reason that you and I love to tell somebody about our favorite restaurants, our favorite movies, our favorite shows, favorite vacation spots. I mean, like, you ever get back from a vacation, and what's the first thing that you do? You tell your family, you tell your friends, oh, you got to go to this place. You're showing them pictures. You're talking about all the great places that you saw and the restaurants you went to. You got to go there next summer. You're sharing this experience with them because you want them to have this experience as well. Andrew had a life-changing experience with Jesus that he just had to share. He had to share it with other people. And first, to the person that he loved most, his brother. And thankfully, for all of us, that's the way that he lived his life. Because, I mean, let's just look at Peter for a second. Let's look at Peter. Peter became the de facto leader of the disciples. Jesus essentially gave Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He said, on this rock, I will build my church. He was talking about us. He was talking about the church. But he called Peter rock for a reason. He knew that that Peter was going to be the one to lead the charge. And he called him to do that. So Peter became the leader of the early church. And on the very first day, on the day that the church was born, Peter gets up and preaches the very first sermon. And 3,000 people come to faith in Jesus. 3,000 people. That's a pretty good first day on the job. I mean, he set the bar pretty high. And Peter went on to do incredible things, unbelievable things for Jesus. But let's not forget who introduced him to Jesus in the first place. And that was Andrew. It was Andrew. Ultimately, all the fruit of Peter's life is also the fruit of Andrew's willingness to reach people. Because Andrew reached Peter. Peter was able to reach thousands more. And he had no idea. But that's what happens when we reach people. We never know what hangs in the balance when we decide to reach someone. We never know. We see this in Andrew and Peter's story. We see this in your story, in my story. We see this in so many stories in our church. Real people, many of whom you know. We see this in the story of Ken and Charlie. Ken and Charlie were friends, and Charlie, man, he had a hard life. He was struggling. He had been to prison, drugs, rehab, all the things. And Ken showed up for Charlie when no one else would. He didn't give up on Charlie like everybody else did. And he invited Charlie to come to the creek because he knew he needed to meet Jesus. He needed to find healing and restoration and life and freedom from sin in Jesus. So he reached Charlie and he just invited him, hey, come and see. And so Charlie came and he came to faith in Jesus. He met him and was radically transformed. And he was baptized here with the woman who would become his wife. And then he, in turn, got to lead several other family members, his own family, to follow Jesus and be baptized as well. We never know what hangs in the balance when we decide to reach someone. We see this in the story of Dawson and Dylan. Dawson and Dylan were friends in high school. And Dawson, you know, he came to Upfront, our student ministry, on Wednesday nights, and he loved it. And he had this friend, Dylan, and he knew that Dylan, he wasn't really a church guy. His family, faith was not a big deal. They were just kind of the Easter and Christmas type of Christians. They weren't really strong in their faith. Maybe they didn't even have faith at all. And so Dawson invites Dylan to come, just come and see, come check it out. Come to Upfront with me. And Dylan, you know, he had a lot of doubts and questions about God. He was really nervous. He didn't know what to think. He was hesitant, but he trusted his friend because he knew his friend loved him. And so he came anyway. And when he came to Upfront, he met Jesus in an authentic way for the very first time. And he came to faith in Jesus. He gave his life to Jesus right in the very back of that room. And so he starts serving. He starts getting involved and investing in other people. Eventually, he brings his family with him to church. He's able to reach them. And not long after that, because of his influence, they all made professions of faith. And Dylan got to baptize his entire family, his mom, his dad, his sister, on the same day. Dawson had no idea that that was gonna happen when he just invited his friend to come and see, when he just decided to reach his friend. And Dawson also had no idea that the guy that he was inviting to go with him to Upfront would one day become the leader of Upfront, who would then go on to lead countless other people to faith. We never know what hangs in the balance when we decide to reach someone. We see this in the story of Sydney and Sarah. Sydney, who grew up in faith and came to church here and is part of our church, and you know, she was strong in her faith, and she was friends with Sarah, and they were in high school. And she knew that Sarah was far from faith. She didn't know Jesus. Faith had never been a part of her life. And she loved Sarah. It pained her that she didn't know Jesus. And so she kept inviting her over and over and over again. And she got turned down time after time after time after time. It was no. But then eventually it turned into a yes. And Sarah came to Upfront. And she met Jesus there and was radically transformed by him. Her heart was softened, her heart was changed. And she put her faith and trust in Jesus. And she was baptized, and she started serving and getting involved and changing other people's lives too. What Sydney didn't know when she invited Sarah was that she was inviting the girl that I would marry one day. I never would have met my wife. My wife may have never met Jesus if it hadn't been for Sydney. I owe everything to Sydney. We never know what hangs in the balance when we decide to reach someone. And you might be sitting there this morning, you say, hey, I get this, I feel this, I want to do this, but how can I do it? Because for Andrew, it just looks easy. For all these people, it looks easy. He lived his life reaching people, made it look effortless. How did he do that? How can I do that? You and I, we tend to overcomplicate things. We overthink things all the time. We talk ourselves out of it. We think we need to know everything and have all the answers and the qualifications. We don't. We don't. Andrew didn't. Those people didn't. Neither do we. Andrew lived his life being, embodying three very specific things. And all of us can choose to be these things as well. Andrew was willing. We need to be willing. He was willing to be used by God to reach people because he was changed and overwhelmed by the love of God. He couldn't keep it to himself. And so he actively found opportunities and seized them because he was always willing to reach others. We need to ask for opportunities. And I think Andrew would tell us, hey, if you ask, he'll give it to you. Because this is the purpose for your life. God's not going to withhold opportunities from you. We need to ask for help and wisdom to reach these people and what to say and what to do. God won't withhold that from you either. Because this is what we were made for. Be willing. And then we need to be intentional. Andrew lived his life knowing that this was his purpose, and the conversations that he had, and the way that he lived, and the people that he met, and the people that he introduced to Jesus. He was very intentional. Show up for the people that you want to reach. Show up for that someone. Prove to them there is nothing they can do to make you give up on them. And there is especially nothing that they can do to make God give up on them. Be intentional with them in the way that you love, in the way that you invite. And that's the last thing, is to be invitational. Andrew, Ken, Dawson, Sydney, all of them show us that reaching people doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be. They just extended an invitation. the same invitation that Jesus extended to Andrew. Come and see. Come and see. Because life change always begins with an invitation to come and see. So who will you extend the invitation to? Who will you invite? God has positioned every one of us to reach certain people in our circle of influence. So who has he positioned you to reach? Invite them over and over and over again. If you get a no, keep inviting. Keep loving, keep asking, keep praying, keep being involved, keep being willing and intentional and invitational. Just say, hey, come to church with me. I'll save you a seat. Just come on. It's not probably like anything that you've seen before. And if you don't like it, hey, you don't have to come back with me. But I want you just to come. We'll make a day of it. We'll go out to lunch. We'll go out to coffee. We'll go shopping after. We'll play golf after. It's going to be a beautiful day. We'll go to the lake. Anything you want to do. I just think you're going to love it. I want you to try this out. Everyone can reach someone. Because everyone's story of faith can be traced back to a someone. God wants to use you to reach someone too. So who will you reach? Who will trace their story of faith back to you? Let them look back on their story of faith, not being able to tell it without including you. Imagine that life. Imagine if you and I lived our lives with the focus and purpose of reaching people, and we were able to look back on our lives and see that domino effect play out. If we were able to look back on our lives, seeing how the people that we reached, God used them to reach other people. And watch that story of faith play out. I can't imagine a life that's more rewarding than that. When we're living like that, we're living out our purpose, what we were made to do. Because we were made for more. Everyone can reach someone. Heavenly Father, thank you for making us with this purpose in mind. Lord, you came to save us, and you're the one doing the saving. But you called us to go beyond the walls of ourselves. And you called us to reach those that are far from you, to go to them, to have compassion on them, to love them, to be willing to be used, to be intentional with who we meet, and to be invitational, always extending the invitation that you extended to us first, to come and see. I pray, God, that you would help us overcome the distraction and the fear. Help us have our heads up and our eyes open so that we can see people and we can see how we can be used to reach them for you. Use us, Lord. We were made for more. It's in Jesus' name we pray.